When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I am Branham, it's Brian behind the glass, and it is a Friday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Good to have you with us, and it's good for you that we're here for you. This will be the last chance you get us for the next 3 days. Long 3 day weekend. Good to have you back, Blankers.
Good to be back.
How you doing?
Hanging in there, very good. I don't know if you caught the show before us, but when your favorite producer gets behind the mic to really let his pipes flow with Joe George on a show, he's quick to throw me under the bus. That was fun. Joe was saying how he gets attacked all the time and beat up with things people say. And Brian right away goes, well, definitely Joel. What are we doing here?
It didn't take you very long to fight back.
Yeah, no.
How you doing? You fight back.
I know it surprises you. I actually did it kind of passive-aggressively on the way into the studio while passing Brian, but wouldn't pass up the opportunity.
Third time I've heard this comment.
Yeah, to do this.
So what did he say? He just said that you make fun of him?
Yeah, I'm the one that dips Joe in the grease.
No, Joe, I don't remember exactly why, but he was reading a text. Joe says, I'm known for bad takes. I get crushed all the time for it. I say, oh, yeah, mostly Joel.
Yeah, where's that
come
from?
It was a passing comment. I didn't mean anything by it.
Jeez.
It's probably 51-49 as far as the two of you. Take your pick.
Right. I don't think it's 51-49. I think it's like 80-20.
Yeah, I do too.
In favor of you?
Yeah. I rip Joe way more than anybody else. Yeah. I don't even think it's close.
I found it pretty equal.
Really? Huh. That's interesting. What do you think it is, Blinkers?
I think you're pretty close.
Yeah, I think it's pretty close.
Because Joe's gotten upset a couple of times when I've done it, so then basically I was like, well, I'm not doing that anymore.
See, that's why I just do it a lot, that it, like, conditions people not to get upset. Like, they might be upset, like, the first or second time, but then, like, the tenth time, oh, he's bashing me. Well, I'm used to it by now. So, like, if you do it enough times, they just get used to it. That's why you just do it a lot.
Yeah. If it works, awesome.
Annoying people 101. What are you sipping on there?
Me?
Yeah.
I got water and I got coffee.
It's like a styrofoam cup.
Yeah, it's a big styrofoam cup, but it keeps the water extremely cold. So I brought that from home, and I've got the coffee here.
I've never seen you drink out of a styrofoam cup.
Well, because it's bigger than the Starbucks cup, so I don't have to run to get more water because it's a bigger, it's 44 ounces.
You keep those styrofoam cups at the house?
I used it, and then I washed it out because I was like, hey, I could use this tomorrow because it keeps a lot of water in there for tomorrow.
I have so many questions. You wash out your styrofoam?
Not normally, but I did.
Oh, you were just thinking ahead. That's pretty smart of you. It's very proactive of you. How much did you miss me while you were gone? A lot, huh?
Tons, yeah.
I knew it.
Yep.
Who'd you miss more, Brian or I?
You.
Yeah.
I think clearly that answer right now.
That was easy. Right now, especially, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't say anything bad about you today, so I have the
leg up. Did I say anything bad about Joel?
Did you exhaust enough the last 2 days?
I don't know if I said anything bad about you, actually. I'm not sure I did. Do you think I did, Brian?
Well, some food takes came up one day.
Oh, yeah, well, we did make fun of your food takes.
I own all my food takes.
Yeah. I forgot we did do that. I think that was 2 days ago, though. I don't think it was yesterday. I forget anything that wasn't like an hour ago. Anyways, Astros won a baseball game. They lost a baseball game while you're gone, too. But they win the first game over the Seattle Mariners. They take game one of the series. We'll get to the Lance McCullers stuff in a second, so let's put a pin in that. I know that was probably the storyline, but we'll get to that storyline here in about 15, 30 minutes or so. Jose Altuve, big day. I know Brian was probably licking his chops. Oh, 750 OPS. Here we go. We're on our way. But that aside, our bet aside, you love to see Jose Altuve start to try to get back on track.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, look, I don't know that he was. I think Pena was the big storyline, getting the big hit, getting to a guy that had basically had the Astros number. But for them to persevere, get that lead, get that cushion, do everything, I thought that was what I was really watching. But then when Altuve kind of busted out, it's like, that's what everybody's going to focus on, because everybody wants that. And honestly, it's one of the things the Astros need. So that was definitely huge that he was able to get two bombs and hopefully just some confidence and get mojo back on his side to feel like he can get back to doing what he's done for all these years for the Astros.
I hate to toot my own horn and pat myself on my own back and, like, you know, don't say any compliments towards me. You know, don't say anything, oh, like, Branham saw it coming or Branham knows ball. Don't do any of that stuff. Stop what you're saying. But I saw this coming with Jose Altuve. Like, I didn't predict a two-home run game. But I saw his at-bats in Tampa, especially later in that series. In fact, I tweeted it. I have a receipt about it. That Jose Altuve is starting to look better at the plate. Like, he was driving the ball the other way. He was barreling up balls. He looked more, like, what's the way of phrasing it? Like, he wasn't chasing sliders 2 feet out of the zone. Like, he was getting into some decent counts. It's like, okay, Jose Altuve might be breaking out of this schneid, breaking out of this slump. And then a two-home run game in game one of the most important series to date was really good to see.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, when you look at it, as much as they've been doing what they've been doing with all the injuries that they've endured and guys struggling that you were really relying on, and Walker's at the front of the list, Altuve was getting real close, and he was starting to flirt with being America's most wanted in terms of has anybody seen the Jose Altuve that can hit the baseball on a pretty consistent basis. And so, you know, I heard Randy McAvoy last night on the news say he just had an unbelievable batting practice yesterday. And I don't know if he came out early or not, but he was like, you know, it really looked good, almost implying that it looked like a different Jose Altuve, to kind of piggyback on what you were saying. And then to see him break out last night and that get that smile back again to where he feels like he's confident again, that I think that's huge.
Found his smile, yeah. Jose Altuve. He found it. I love Randy McAvoy. What does a good batting practice mean? Like, I know what it means. Like, oh, he's squaring the balls, or he's taking the ball the other way. It's coming at him at 65 miles per hour. Like, that is so insignificant to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it could be, you know, it depends on what he saw, because I wasn't there. I mean, I'm just saying what I saw on TV.
What's best case scenario?
But I'm saying if they're working on, like, laying off outside pitches, they're working on maybe, you know, taking the ball the other way, or, you know, not chasing or, you know, throwing balls in certain locations. I don't know what that consists of.
I've seen dudes at 5 o'clock who are Babe Ruths.
Oh, for sure.
And they're 220 hitters, yeah, in games. Like that.
Because it's on a platter.
The batting, like, he had a great batting. Cool. Like, that's awesome. I had a great vocal exercise 15 minutes before this show. My meditation today was outstanding. So the next 3 hours are going to be the best Branham you ever get. Because my vocal exercises 15 minutes before the show were off the charts. Sorry, that's just one of those things that triggers me. Like, he had a great shoot around. Cool. Like, he's shooting against air. He's hitting pitches that are coming 65 miles per hour. That's awesome. He had a great batting practice. Give me the at-bats he had against Tampa prior to yesterday's batting practice as to the reason that he has some big games. Like, the batting practice thing is maybe the biggest false hustle take I've ever heard in my life.
Okay.
Sorry, you kind of triggered me. I mean, you didn't by default. It wasn't you specifically.
No, I know. I'm repeating practice. What I heard, but I'm just saying, you know, Randy's my friend.
How many times have you been, like, striping it on the range, and then you get to number one and you shank it into the gallery? Oh, but he was great on the range. He was fantastic. He had a great range session. He was so good. You should have seen Kaimi Fairbairn kick 55 yarders before the game, and then he gets a little bit of wind and he puts it into the second row at the 10-yard line. It's just a cliche take. Oh, he had a great BP, so he had a 2-home run game. What? No. Like, what are the biggest cliche takes out there? I'm trying to think now. Now I'm going down this wormhole. 713-780-ESPN. I think the driving range one is good.
Yeah.
Because dudes are striping on the range, and they get to the first tee with their friends, and it's like they shoot 120. I've seen some dudes who are Tiger Woods on the driving range, and then they turn into Brian McDonald's on the course. Like,
what, getting 5 yards behind an NFL offensive line and being able to get back to the dugout to bat leadoff from the outfield?
Had a great BP. He had a 2-home run game because he had a great BP. Oh, man. Anyways, moving on. I think I'm the only one getting any humor out of this. I think that Mauricio Dubon should be the starting second baseman until he's not. Look, Jose Altuve can play there some days. That's fine. But when it's not Jose Altuve, it should be Mauricio Dubon. He's just better. Like, I'm not a huge Mauricio Dubon stan either. Like, I think there's a lot of flaws in his game. I don't think he's an everyday starter, like, on a good baseball team. I think he's good at touching the baseball. He never walks. He doesn't hit for much power whatsoever. But Mauricio Dubon, in my opinion, is clearly head and shoulders better than Brendan Rodgers. And Brendan Rodgers should never start a game that Mauricio Dubon is not.
Did we miss – have we already passed that deadline that either he and or the team could either pick up the rest of his contract or he could become a free agent?
I think it was a week from last Saturday, so like almost 2 weeks ago now.
Okay. Because based on the way he started the season as opposed to now – that's night and day, and that's not good because it went the other way in a hurry. He has not been good, and even the Gold Glove second baseman part of this thing has not been standing out to me. So, yeah, I mean, I would not disagree with you. I mean, Dubon, that look, I've said this over and over again. It's always been kind of a pet peeve of mine, but I don't know how he's able to do this, but he looks like absolute hot garbage for two strikes. And with two strikes on him, he finds a way to not only put it in play, but like last night going the other way and finding the hole down the first baseline. But he just finds a way to slap it where they're not and get on base and get some hits. And he's effective.
And he's really good defensively. Yes. Like, I know that they both have gold gloves, and Dubon didn't win his at second, and Brendan Rodgers won his at second base. Now, you have to go back a little bit further for Rodgers' gold glove. I think a year. Rodgers won his gold glove in 22. Dubon won his in 23. Does that sound right?
That sounds right.
I think
right.
That's right. So, like, Dubon's won his more recently, but he won his as a utility guy. Finalist as a second baseman. Rodgers won his as a second baseman. I haven't dove into the defensive analytics on it because I'm not a nerd. Well, at least all the time. I think Dubon eye test is a better defensive second baseman than Brendan Rodgers, too.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think that, to me, Dubon looks like he can cover more ground. He does cover more ground, and I think that he's more athletic when he does cover more ground. To where, yes, I believe that right now, no matter what they've won in the past and what the back of the baseball card says, I'll take Dubon over Rodgers at second base defensively.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where Rodgers, like, even though it's past the deadline, it's getting to the point where he might get cut soon. Because if he's not playing second base, if he's not starting regularly, he can't play any other position. And then he doesn't give you anything off the bench because he's right-handed and you have plenty of right-handed bats. So, like, I just pulled up the Baseball Savant on it, too, because I got curious. Let's play our game. Guess their – you want to go range or fielding run value?
You call it because this is not my specialty. Going this
let's
deep
go,
into stats.
Let's go range. Let's just do both. Let's go range first, though.
Oh.
No. But, I mean, if you look good in the range, you're going to shoot 66.
Dang right. Practice guy.
Fielding range. One being the worst in baseball, 100 being the best in baseball in terms of percentile. Okay. Let's go Brendan Rodgers first. Where do you think Brendan Rodgers is at 1 through 100?
67.
Not bad. 75.
Okay.
75. What do you think Dubon is?
81.
98.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's elite.
That's quite a difference. There's a significant gap there.
Fielding run value, Brendan Rodgers.
Say it again. Fielding value.
Fielding run value. Kind of the same thing. Same.
Okay.
Same
on a scale
idea.
Of
1 to 100.
Oh, okay.
Percentile here.
I'll go 69 for Rodgers.
Nice. 64.
Okay.
So like right in the wheelhouse. You're in the ballpark.
Okay.
For Dubon.
Oh my God. I mean, if his fielding's that good too, I'll say 95.
You nailed it. This isn't. You said you're not good at this, and you were fantastic at this game.
Well, I didn't get the last one right.
You nailed the last one. Like, I'm not rounding here. His fielding run value is in the 95th percentile. Like, Dubon's a better defender. Dubon's a better defender at second base. and Dubon is the better hitter. So, like, why would Brendan Rodgers ever get starts over Mauricio Dubon? Unless Mauricio Dubon goes into, like, a huge slump, okay, let's see if Brendan Rodgers can, you know, give you something. Mm-hmm. But he's actually hitting pretty good right now. I think he's hitting, like, 300 over his last, like, 10 starts or something like that. He's the better defender. He puts the ball in play. And, again, I'm not a Dubon stan, but he's clearly the better second baseman.
Now here's the thing, too. What you need to evaluate is, I mean, Shea Whitcomb is hitting the hell out of it down at Sugar Land, so you can have a guy that could easily replace Brandon Rodgers. And the bigger thing than that is, offensively, one, you haven't been where you thought you might be, and your lineup has been less than, and you sorely lack the construction of an entire roster to have more left-handed hitters on this roster. Not that that improves, but if there's ways you can be flexible if you don't want to bring up Whitcomb, there's things you could have done. And there's reasons why, when you look at that comparison that you just talked about, on top of the fact that this is a poorly constructed roster from the left-handed at-bat side of it, that you could still do things to alter, adjust, and make it better, and yet they haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, the Whitcomb thing is interesting, but he doesn't defend. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's their MO, especially on the infield. Like, that was kind of the reason they moved Altuve. Like, I would like to see what Shea looks like at the big league level. Again, I have doubts that he can hit the big league pitching, but I would like to see.
But at least from a hitting perspective, it looks good. For me, it's a defensive standpoint of, you and I have talked about this on multiple occasions. Like, where do you put him? Like, he can hit. And if he can hit and show it translates to the major league level, that's one thing. But defensively, I know it says infielder, but where do you play him where he's not going to, like, melt down, self-destruct, or just, you know, cough a few up that you'd feel comfortable with? But if he's a backup second baseman, but you have another bat on the roster, that's one thing.
Yeah.
If you don't have to bring him up and you can find a left-handed bat along the way, that'd be outstanding.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I think there's a better chance that they would, like, DFA Rodgers and maybe bring up that, however you say that, Guillermo's guy's name. He says it funny. It's not Guillermo, but you know who I'm talking about. And he doesn't hit well.
The guy that used to play for the Mets.
Yeah, but he can at least play all over the infield. Like, he can play, you know, he can play all three infield positions. I'm sure he's capable of playing first, but you're not looking for a first baseman. He can be a backup bench guy that fills in once a week. Like, he's not going to get many starts. You really don't want him to play, but he gives you position flexibility. He actually gives you a left-handed bat. Now, it's not a good left-handed bat. King of Twitch says they signed that dude in AAA, Greg Jones. Yeah, I don't know how he profiles defensively, but his offensive numbers, even in the minors, are pretty bad. I think that's a flyer. Bryce Matthews isn't ready. I'm letting Dubon play for the next 40 games and then reevaluate then, is what I would do. 713-780-ESPN. We have more notes from game one. We'll talk about Lance McCullers at 3:30, his start, the good and the bad of his start. There was some positivity. There was some negativity. We'll talk to Todd Callis at 4 to get his perspective, although he wasn't there. He wasn't at yesterday's game. Todd Callis takes days off work and still works. He's kind of like me. We're built from the same cloth. TK and I, we're both dogs, he and I. We'll talk a little bit about the Rocket stuff that are going on, and then I guess Israel got roasted today by the bench. How dare the Hall of Famers Lance Erline and John Granato go off on Israel? That's uncalled for.
Yeah, I mean, it was mostly Lance, but John jumped in at a certain point, and they weren't even strays. They were on attack mode.
I'm looking forward. I haven't heard any of it, so I'm looking forward to listening to that a little bit later, but I'm sure I'll be on Israel's side. I'll be the advocate for Israel, our not-so-tribal chief. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blanker's at Pac-Man Joel. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Killer Bees, ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5.
Right now, I'll tell you about my good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville is the best in the business when it comes to a lot of things. He does spa treatments. He does Botox. He does plastic surgery. But what I have personal experience with Doc on is the NeoGraft procedure and the PRP treatments that actually save the hair that you have and also get your hair back if you've lost it already or you're thinning out and you don't think there's anything you can do about it. It's not the sprays and the creams and the foams that you see on all the late-night TV ads that just mask the problem and don't fix it. This is actually fixing the problem. It's fantastic. Doc told me about it. I had a consultation. At the end of it, I thought about it, talked it over with my wife, and she was like, what do you have to lose except for more hair? Try it. Did it. Couldn't be happier I did it, and now you can do it too. As listeners to this station that want to get to Doc Linville and see if he can help them as well, you get a free consultation that normally costs $150. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. They will walk you through the process, the procedures, the treatments, everything that they have that either keeps the hair that you have and makes it better, and or also adds hair where you need it most. It's fantastic. It's game-changing, and it works. That's the main thing you need to know. And the consultation's free. People pay $150 for it. You're listening to us, so you get it for nothing. And that means no signing on the dotted line, commitment to be made, money out of pocket. Just you being able to consider everything to see if there's a possibility that you might do the procedure too. I'm telling you, I did it. I couldn't be happier with it. Saw the results instantly. And then the full results when the hair gets thicker, stronger, and longer in about 6 to 9 months. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. But start by going to 975hair.com and make that free consultation appointment.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
713-780-ESPN. If you guys want to talk some baseball, you can do it with us. We'll talk about colors here in about 10 minutes. Texture about like BP, home runs or whatever. Or good batting practice leading to a good day of hitting. It's like guys that think they're good at basketball because they can shoot threes at 24 hour. It's a good point. Knock down a couple of threes. Oh, yeah, I got this. And all of a sudden you get somebody running at you and you clank it off the back iron or shank it off the top of the backboard.
It's like that. What's that? What's the guy, Gilly, the rap guy that also was like in the three-on-three league and everything else? But it's like kind of like that similar thing where if you can get buckets on some people, you suddenly can beat the best in the NBA, and you deserve to be in an NBA uniform. And it's like you're so far from that.
It's like the guys who like do the jiu-jitsu, but like they can't actually fight. They just do like the exercise jiu-jitsu, and they think they could be the middleweight champion of the world.
Yeah.
It's like the guys who punch the heavy bag or punch the speed bag and think they're the next Floyd Mayweather Jr., and then they get into a bar fight and get clocked and everybody's got a plan.
It's like guys
that
think they can get 5 yards just getting the ball handed off to them with any kind of average offensive line.
I kind of like that you're going all in on Brian today. Yeah. I can kind of just chill.
A little payback.
Have a little easy day.
He gave me the thumbs up on that one.
Cruise into my 3-day weekend. Buchanan said Joe Rogan. Yeah, Joe Rogan is that guy. Joe Rogan like does some. Joe Rogan did some karate, I think, as a kid and was actually pretty high level, but yes, kind of like that. We're like, oh, yeah, this is amateur MMA guy. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, what if he really threw down with a pro? You get schooled. You get killed.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually, John and Lance were talking about Rogers and his comments with Rogan, and I went back and watched some of that. But he's very, very confident in himself.
Yeah, he is. This text was directed to Paul and Brian, or Joe and Brian, I think. Paul isn't in, and you just stop trying to think. Didn't improve any position in free agency, ? Safety is much better and deeper, and they added an often overlooked piece for depth at linebacker. I noticed yesterday that the text line, some texts are coming in normal, and then a lot of texts are coming in like an hour late.
I just saw that. I was like, how did that pop up in the first hour of our show?
See, I thought, whenever I first saw this yesterday, I was like, oh, somebody's listening like on the podcast or whatever, or like on YouTube, and they're just back at like 30, 45 minutes. But then I realized later in the show, because a bunch came at once, that a lot of our text messages right now are being like held up in the cloud, and then they just spew out like an hour after whatever we're talking about. So good luck. Good luck trying to piece that together. Twitter's been acting up too. Have you noticed that?
No, I have
not. It's been jacked up. Like it's been showing everybody's having a DM, but like you can't open the DM. That actually just got resolved here recently. And then like the notifications really aren't working either. Like my millions and millions of likes have been reduced to hundreds and hundreds. And it's a bit below average. But then I go back to the post and I see that people are commenting and stuff, but it doesn't show up in the notifications. It's really tough when you're an influencer and you have issues like this. When you're a global social media star and you're
just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
It's a first world problem, really.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it could be very frustrating at the same time.
It's very frustrating. Who hits better at sea level, Rogers or Doobie? At sea level, Doobie. Mile high, give me Brendan Rogers. That's a Coors Field joke that's extra sent in because they're a mile
And didn't he
high.
Say that was his frustration, was like the struggles of hitting at Coors Field? He wanted to prove he could hit at sea level?
Yeah, he's like, oh, getting away from that goofy ballpark should maybe hit better. No, it made you – the ballpark is the reason that you're still a professional baseball player. because you had good numbers there, people think that you might actually be able to hit, when in reality, anytime you're playing away from Coors Field, you're a bum.
Plus, his gold glove opens doors to at least have teams consider putting him on their roster for a defensive replacement and part-time player, but didn't look so good now.
You don't carry a whole lot of backup second baseman, though. Like,
no,
you carry infielders who can play second, but not primary
right.
second baseman.
Right, you can play all the positions aside first base in the infield and catcher.
Yeah.
I mean, because you look at the guys that they've had, Aledmys Diaz and Marwin and Dubon, and I know I'm missing somebody in between, but, I mean, that's been a staple for the Astros. But, yeah, you're right. Their primary position is normally not second base.
Yeah, they're very, very few, like, just strict backup only second baseman. Blanker's saving the earth by reusing his styrofoam cup. That is good of you. You are thinking.
I mean, look,
green.
I do it all the time with the Starbucks cup, but this is a bigger cup. And we had dinner last night, and I was like, hey, do we have any, like, I don't want any caffeine, but do we have any, like, soda in the house, like Sprite or anything like that? And she's like, no. So I go, well, I'm going to run down to the gas station real quick and just grab one. So I grabbed it, and I'm like, damn, this kept the ice and everything really, really cold. I'm like, I'm just going to clean this out.
Yeah, it's actually very eco unfriendly, the styrofoam cup. That's why a lot of places go to
not
like
recyclable.
Yeah. Selfishly, I'm a huge fan of the styrofoam cup because I'm with you. It is way better than the plastic
because
it doesn't sweat and it insulates the coolness for far longer.
Exactly. And it's twofold there too, because it doesn't, now that it doesn't sweat, now the car isn't all full of precipitation and all that stuff. And the ice stays and it does a hell of a job.
I mean, in like the most humid of days in Houston, it will sweat, but it's way more difficult to make it sweat. It's pretty rare.
For sure.
So what's the hesitation with bringing Whitcomb as a bench bat, fielding service time? I think it's more about the fielding, and there's not a place to play him every day. Like, the Astros care a lot about infield defense. It's a big reason that Jose Altuve plays left field most days. Fromber, ground ball guy, Hunter Brown, ground ball guy. And whenever Dubon is at second base, the Astros defense is really good on the dirt. I saw a stat today that the Astros have, like, the second most outs above average in baseball, in large part because they moved Altuve to left and they're getting good defensive play at second behind ground ball guys. I think the hesitation with Whitcomb is, one, he's not good defensively. There's not an everyday spot for him. And he's also right-handed. Like, if they're going to make a move, I think it'd be for a left-handed bat.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think, look, what they saw last year is enough to remember, no matter what he's doing right now, and because of what they're facing, like I said, with the way this roster is currently constructed and everything else, I think they're going to look that direction first before they kind of pop him back up to the majors and expect more than they saw the last time.
Can we say Dubon like the Jags coach says Duval?
Dubon.
That'd work.
I think I kind of like that.
It could work, yeah.
Dubon. Can you grab that, use it as a drop? Ryan or Brian? I'm not sure which one of you is behind there today. No one warned me. Is that Ryan?
Yeah, it's Ryan, who just came in right when we started the show after AJ snuck out while Brian is doing Brian things.
So Ryan is hitting drops? Was that right? Ryan's hitting that drop?
I think Brian might be kind of armchair quarterbacking the sound effects. Yes.
Ryan, who hit the drop? Was that you? Brian did it? Brian hit the drop. Ryan scared
to
talk.
Brian hit it.
Okay. Right. Ryan,
Ryan and Brian are scared to talk, which is weird, but I think Brian just left it all on the table from noon to three.
Brian's not scared to talk. He's just too far from the microphone. No, if he needs to talk, he'll push Ryan out of the way. Don't you worry. He pushed AJ the other day. He still got a broken leg. Brian doesn't have any fear of the microphone. Ryan, if you're going to want to get paid with this job, you're going to have to learn those drops, my guy. You have to learn those drops. Ryan made a rookie mistake yesterday. He forgot to pot up one of the mics. Ooh. We had about 3 seconds of dead air, which is devastating and rage. I'm surprised he's here today. In fact, I'm just kidding, Ryan. You're doing a great job. Keep it up, my guy. Victor Caratini's been red hot. That's a note I have from yesterday. He's really keeping that DH spot because either he's catching and Yiner's DHing or Yiner's catching and Caratini's DHing like today. They're actually producing better than Yordan did while he was playing.
Yeah, no, I thought about it. You know, I thought you'd take credit for that, but ever since you declared him to be your guy or one of your two guys, I mean, he continues to produce. He's a guy that, as much as people thought they really didn't know the name to, but you know, or put the name to, except for anything but a backup catcher, that once he's gotten here, he's been so much more. And no matter what he did last year, you know, and when Maldi was doing Maldi things, But the fact that now he is a capable replacement at DH, if you need him at first base, he can play there like he did a year ago when they were having so many struggles. He's been so valuable to this team. And the fact that he's hitting consistently all year with so many guys in the lineup that aren't, it reinforces that.
Yeah, he's good. He's making himself a lot of money, too. He's in the final year of his deal. Like, his deal, not deal. Somebody's going to pay him a lot of money, I think, to be their starting catcher. I don't think he'll be here next year. I don't think he'll be with the Astros. Astros will want him, but
I was thinking about that last night. Yeah, he's probably going to either get a starting job somewhere or he is going to get a lot more money than the Astros are going to want to pay.
And probably both. Probably both of those things. Last note I have from game one, bullpen's underrated. Josh Hader, Brian Abreu, obviously we know they're very good, and we had a bunch of questions, and rightfully so, about the Astros relief pitchers outside of those two guys. They've been nails all year long. They went 4 2/3 of shutout relief yesterday. Big reason they won that game. The bullpen has been fantastic, and while we give Josh Hader and Brian Abreu all of the love, the rest of the guys deserve some attention too. Underrated bullpen, and they've been very good all year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, when you look at just all the different names that a lot of guys, you know, either from the standpoint of like an Okert who was hurt to start the year, or the guys that they brought in that we didn't know what to expect from, that were, you know, glorified, some guys journeymen, been around to a lot of places. Everybody that they've plugged and played and they brought in to just kind of fill a middle of the relief role has been good, if not better than advertised. And when you talk about a king and what he's been able to do, when Okert being out, we didn't know what they were going to do in the seventh inning. And the fact that everybody, when their numbers called, for the most part, more times than not, steps up. The pitching has been the real MVP of this entire season. The bullpen has been incredible. And the starting pitching, with all the different guys they've had to plug and play and insert, and even the guys they've started to bring up, have been holding their own enough that this team has stayed afloat over .500 with everything.
Yeah. Rackham Pete, Brendan Rodgers, Christian Walker in a heated battle for the 25 Maldonado batting title. I saw a video clip that the Highway to Hell posted yesterday of the Baytown baddies saying that, like, Christian Walker could be DFA'd soon. And it's like, okay, man.
Come on. Stop.
It's not happening.
But he's with 2.5 years left.
He is struggling.
Got a hit last night, though.
He's still struggling. He's been better at home.
He dipped under the Mendoza line last night, right?
He comes into today 199.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing that I'm holding out hope for, like, that's not just blind optimism and, like, looking through the orange Astro goggles. Mm-hmm. The one optimistic thing, whenever I, like, okay, why is he struggling? His bat speed's still pretty good. Like, it has not fallen off from where it was last year, really. Right. So I think it's more swing decision, like, probably trying to do too much, like, settle down with Christian Walker. And he's had moments this year, too, where it's like, okay, he's finding it. He'll have a good 2-week stretch. He'll have a good homestand. And then it's like 0 for 5, 0 for 5, 0 for 5 immediately following that. I'm not giving up on Christian Walker. I'm really nowhere near giving up on Walker, but that's the one thing of why I'm holding out hope, is because the bat speed's still pretty solid.
Well, but again, when I'm watching the game last night and I'm going, we had the whole conversation and you looked up bat speed, so I was like, okay, well, that's encouraging. But then when I look at his line score going into the at-bat where he actually got the hit, he's like, he's 0 for 3 with 2 strikeouts, and it seems like at one stretch when he was like 0 for 16 and 8 of them were strikeouts, like, okay, bat speed's good, but my goodness, did he suddenly lose both of his eyes at the plate in terms of having a good eye to be able to hit? Because he's just flailing at everything.
And that's one of his strong suits, too.
Yeah.
Like, he has good plate discipline, he makes good swing decisions, but that hasn't been the case this season. Texter, he says, Rogan is also 50 years old, idiot. Bet he smokes all the listeners east. He called everybody an idiot, and then he said east instead of easy. So, I mean, glass houses, you're going to call people an idiot. You got to at least do the spell check, right?
What's he smoking them in?
Who?
Joe Rogan at 50, smoking who doing what?
The listeners, like, in a fight, which he would. I mean, Rogan's
jacked up. Yeah.
He does, like, the kettlebell exercise where he, you know, does kettlebells, and he does the ice plunge. Would you do the ice plunge? Have you done the ice plunge?
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, a bunch of my buddies have been, like, pushing it forever and a day. And I was like, I'm not big on from the grapes to the ticker. I don't know that I need to do the deep freeze. But I tweaked a calf last week playing hoop, and I did it 3 times this week. And it's unbelievable. Now, some of the things that people have said
to me. Have you done full body or just, like, leg?
So the first time I did do, like, basically waist down.
And then all these guys that I know that from the, that are in the gym, they're like, oh, my God, swearing by it. And the one dude, look, we're just talking about it. And they're like swimming and like going underwater and talking about how great it is and how you come out. It's better than any coffee you've ever had. And, and I'm like, yeah, okay, but I don't need all of that. I can drink coffee. And I don't feel like I want to do, you know, put my head under freezing cold water and hold it there for however long I can. And then he looks at me and goes, you know what? It's better than sex. To me, it's the best thing in the world because you don't need another person, and it's that invigorating. And I went, you need help. Like,
that's why you did it?
No, I didn't do it. I said I did it because I tweaked my calf. And honestly, the girls were like, I took the girls to the pool there to go swimming. And I was like, well, while I'm here, I might as well try this cold plunge that everybody's talking about because I've got time. And the next day I woke up, I was like, I don't even feel like I tweaked my calf yesterday. It's pretty amazing.
They say like the cold immersion and then the sauna immersion is like the way to go.
Yeah,
like you go back and forth.
There are a lot of people because they're right next to each other. A lot of people going back and forth. And I'm like, wouldn't that like screw with your skin? Like your skin gets sensitive to all the deep cold that it's protecting. Then all of a sudden you warm it up real quick and then jam it back in the cold pool. I'm like, not that you're going to get frostbite, but that would seem to me like you'd leave your skin a little bit more vulnerable. So I don't do that.
I think it gets all the oho away.
Okay, I don't know what the oho is.
But it gets all the oho away. It's good. It's good for you. It's like the ketones and stuff. It gets them firing, gets them going. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Lance McCullers made the start yesterday. Good news with Lance, bad news with Lance as well. 713-780-3776. What do you think of Lance's start? It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Always good news with HRMP. Mike Holley runs HRMP, U of H class of 1990. Used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he wants to protect your business and did both at a very high level. Chris Fisher over there as well. All the people at HRMP are fantastic. They're what you would call the bee's knees. They've been protecting the interests of businesses for almost three decades at HRMP now. HRMP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll, and so much more, too. They're not limited to just that. They're going to figure out whatever it takes to get your business booming. And not that it already isn't, but they're going to take it up a level, or they're going to take some stuff off your plate. That way you can grow your business in other aspects you want to, because they're going to work with you to customize the plan for whatever you need. Nothing cookie cutter about HRMP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRMP is going to create a plan for what you and your business needs and keep that business booming. Their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll call someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can attest to HRMP. We use HRMP here at Gal. They're fantastic. Anytime I have a question, which is very rare because HRMP software is so good, but if I have a rare question, fire off an email, always a quick response. They are fantastic. Let HRMP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business or more time on the golf course. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525. Let HRMP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or you can visit them online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hello.
Could you hear anything I said?
Didn't hear a single word you said.
Ryan did it again.
He left you down.
Didn't learn from his mistake,
did
Ryan.
You just started by saying, I live my life like there's no tomorrow? No.
Okay, so you didn't hear anything I said?
No.
That's good, because a lot of horrible, horrific things.
Sweet. I'm used to it.
Alex Bregman pulled his hammy today.
Saw that. Was that what it was? I was looking at it going,
looked like it.
Was it a hammy? Was it a calf? Was it Achilles? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Like, I guess I don't really know. I just automatically assume the hammy because he has a history of hammies, but I really couldn't. I really couldn't tell.
I think the good news was because they, you know, the replay showed it like six times. But the good news was, unlike when D'Amico did it with the Eagles here, you could actually, when it was Achilles, you could see his Achilles rolling up his leg.
Yeah.
I didn't see any, like, you know, muscle pull action where you're like,
no.
Oh, boy.
No, I look like a 3-4 week muscle strain. Like
maybe.
Muscle
yeah, probably
pool.
So.
Yeah, and Bregman's had the hamstring issues. My favorite part of the video, not that we're like celebrating Alex Bregman being hurt. I would never want anybody to get hurt. The ball boy, like we always assume the ball boys are like 14 years old, right? And they're really like just small 23-year-old men. They're like jockeys. They're like in their mid-40s. Mm-hmm. But the ball boy, who we, again, we assume is like 14 years old, but he like goes up to get Bregman's, you know, leg pad, his arm back, because, you know, he's on base, so he's going to get it and run back to the dugout. So he runs up to him and he realizes that Bregman's hurt. And then you see the ball boy turn where you can see his face and you can see his lips. And he just drops the loudest F-bomb that the like the actual parabolic mic on the TV broadcast picks it up, actually.
Wait, the ball boy said it or Bregman said it?
No, the ball boy.
Oh, really?
The ball, I mean, he is like 24 years old, but he looks 12.
He's
a
ball adult.
Yeah, he's a ball adult. But we assume that they're very young when they're actually like grown men that make a living being ball boys. They're basically clubbies. But, yeah, he turned around because he realized the moment and just dropped a massive, massive four-letter word that the TV broadcast picked up.
Maybe that ball boy can apply to be a Rockets ball adult for next
maybe
year.
So. Yeah, they could.
I mean, the Rockets ball adults are close to AARP with, like, married with kids in college.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Good news, bad news. I have some good news, bad news for the Lance McCullers start yesterday.
Okay,
you want me to start with the? You want me to start with the good or the bad?
The good.
Okay. The good was he looked really, really good in the third and the fourth inning. Like, he looked really good. Like, I'm being sincere. Like, I'm being legitimate. And he was getting swing and miss really throughout the game. Like, throughout the game, he was getting swing and miss. He racked up 8 strikeouts. His whiff rate was high. Well, it's like, okay, like, I can live with a guy who's punching out 8 and getting a whiff rate that high. The bad news, though, is the first, second, and the fifth. Like, he was very lucky to get out of the first and second with one run each. He's very lucky that a run was not, you know, added to his ledger in the fifth. And, you know, you can buy a steak dinner for Dubin. He'll probably just take him to coffee because he has a coffee shop.
He should buy one for Polanco, too.
Yeah. I mean, Polanco helped him out for sure. You're right about that.
Yeah.
So, like, the over, I guess the 20,000-foot view here is that there's some progress. Like, he's still got a long way to go, but there is progress. Like, the flashes that he showed in the third and the fourth, and the fact that he struck out 8, and the fact that his whiff rate was good, still not a good start, what I would call a good start, but there are some glimpses of maybe if he can put this all together, he can be somebody who helps you. Again, long ways to go. But there's some glimmer now. There's some glimmer of hope that we hadn't really seen before.
Yeah, no, look, I was extremely frustrated because from the minute, again, it's kind of like you were just saying about, and maybe that's another correlation to the batting practice analogy, which is he looked great in the bullpen, you know, because I don't want to hear and I don't care about how he threw in the bullpen and warming up and getting ready.
Yeah.
The minute he took the hill and you could say, well, it's another one of those home starts, home start or road start regardless. The last two have been stinkers at home, and this one started the same way the last one did. And I'm going, I was tweeting, and I go, here we go again, because he has zero control. He's all over the strike zone. He's not locating it, and his pitch count's going through the roof already. And thankfully, he got out of some things. Mm-hmm. But, like, aside from that slider, which, I mean, Polanco looked like he was a single A player chasing that thing with some of the bad swings he put on. But overall, I'm going, I want to say there's progress. I want to say this is a guy, especially with the injuries and what we're assuming is going to happen with Blanco, that they need even more. But I definitely wasn't hyper-impressed. I am glad, like you said, that he settled down later in the start. But overall, I'm going, God, I'm expecting more. I'm expecting him at this point.
Why?
Because of the fact that he has been a capable major league pitcher before. And I believe that, I don't know because I've never had the surgeries, but I don't know. But I was thinking, you know, if he's gone to this point with the rehab starts and with all he's done, with everybody watching over his shoulder, that he's got to be able to locate pitchers better than this. And it was frustrating.
He's never been good in command. Like, command has never been his strong suit. Like, even whenever he was good, his command wasn't good. Now, and look, I don't think he, like, lost command. Maybe it's, like, rustiness. I don't think your command would go down the older you get. Now,
surgery might do it.
I don't know, though.
That's what, like, I'm saying. I don't know from personal experience, but I was wondering, like, with whatever they do to reconstruct, would that affect or have a different feel to it to where I don't know if you can get that back.
You see, like, whenever guys have major, like, arm issues, though, it's not the command that fails them. It's, you know, they lose the velo, they lose the spin, they lose the nastiness, they lose the stuff. But where I think it could hurt you is kind of like a domino effect as you start to lose trust in the stuff. To where, okay, I don't trust this slider like I used to trust it, to where now you're starting it at the outside corner to a righty, and it's selling out of the zone, and it's not a competitive pitch. Oh, my fastball is 91, 92. I don't trust this at the top third of the zone. I only trusted a ball up out of the zone, and then all of a sudden, a guy who didn't have great command is trying to nibble, which is going to lead to more command issues. I think it's more of the domino effect. I don't know like how scientific that is, but I did think in the third and the fourth inning that his stuff looked pretty good. Like that was the best his stuff has looked, in my opinion, in any of his starts. I don't think he's looked like a big league pitcher in any of his starts. I thought he looked like a big league pitcher in the third and the fourth inning yesterday.
Yeah, I was relatively pleased with how, like I said, how he settled down to actually get some guys out and look effective. Look, I think the changeup, he threw a couple of nasty changeups, but to your point, he was trying to pinpoint and paint the corner on the changeup, on the outside corner a couple of times, and the umpire was very inconsistent, but I'm not even going to chalk it up to that because there was no reason for the umpire to be like looking to give him a call here or there that was borderline because he was so far away from the strike zone, particularly with the fastball. Because if you take that slider and that changeup, and you can at least counterbalance that with the fastball, which did hit 94 a few times.
Yeah, you see how hard he was throwing that changeup, though?
Yeah.
It's like 89 and 88, 89 changeup, and his fastball is 92, 93.
The first
like,
changeup
he
threw,
difference.
And it was like 90, 91. I was like, are they sure it was a changeup? Are they sure it wasn't a fastball?
Sometimes that does happen. Like sometimes the StatCast does screw it up.
Well, but they showed the replay, and you could tell by the grip and the rotation. Then I was like, okay, good. It was a changeup. But like if he had the 93, 94 fastball, which he could locate, now maybe that's now he's going to settle in to be more effective.
See, I think that's a major ask.
It is. That's why I'm saying.
When he's touching 90, I know he touched 94, but he's living 91, 92 with no command. And now you want him living 94 with command?
Well, now I'm pushing. Now I'm pushing my level of enthusiasm down even more than I said when I see him pitch against major league hitters consistently, like several times, and then I'll start getting more excited. No, the more I see him pitch, the less excited I get.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, he did get swing and miss yesterday, though. So, like, there's been some movement. Like, he is getting guys. He is missing bats, and that's important. King brings up a good point. His glove side stuff is way better than the opposite. See, that's actually a thought that I had as I was driving home today, like, thinking about Lance's start, was that I wonder if they're giving Lance X amount of starts, whatever the number is, X, like seven starts, whatever. Like, here, Lance, here, go do your thing. Like, we're going to get out of your way. This is going to be conditioning. This is going to be you getting the pitch count up. And he was in the 90s yesterday. Like, that was also another encouraging sign. Throw all your pitches. Throw your full repertoire. Let's see what you got. Let's get a sample. Let's get some data. And then let's go to work. Because he's throwing a lot of pitches. I think there's a chance that they look at Lance's four or five pitches and they say, let's start throwing your best two or three in a couple of months. Once we have the data to really get informed information on what is working and what is not working, which could elevate his performances.
Yeah, I mean,
because that's what they do, right? Like, the Astros trade for these guys or sign these guys, sure. And they're like, okay, you have four pitches. Here are two that we like. Let's not necessarily shelf the other two, but let's throw those two very, very little, and let's throw the two that are effective a lot. I think they could do that with Lance in a month or two.
Now, my biggest concern with that would be because of the fact that the fastball doesn't really factor into being one of those pitches. It's more like the slider change right now. Like, because in a lot of cases, like you bring up, they also are able to develop a new pitch for someone or a pitch that they've had in their repertoire that they hadn't been using previously, a la Hunter Brown, but some of the other guys that they've been able to work with, where you go, okay, now that kind of counterbalances the two off-speed pitches, and it gives you the ability to keep hitters even more off balance. And there's a lot more positives to it. Look, I hope something's figured out. I hope that somewhere in the middle of everything that we've just thrown out there, that there might be a happy medium that solves some of this. I just have zero confidence when he takes the mound, more so, honestly, than some of the guys they brought up from the minor leagues to pitch and get and do the exact same thing they're asking him to do.
Yeah. You're right. Yes. Now, the third and fourth, I did think he looked like a big league pitcher. First time that I thought that this year. So, like, I'm looking at that as some optimism. But, like, I just pulled up a few, like, his Savant numbers. Like, his curveball has been good. Like, opponents aren't really touching his curveball. 143 batting average against
it. How frequently is he throwing it?
Only 13% of the time. Yeah. So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder if they're giving him six starts, seven starts. Okay, now we have a good sample of information. Mm-hmm. Hey, Lance, your knuckle is your most effective pitch. Why don't we start throwing that 40% of the time?
And I hear you, but here's the counter to that, which is then, okay, well, how much can his arm take?
I don't care.
Because I know you don't care, but I'm just saying, like, maybe he is even in the back of his mind thinking about it, too. Like, part of the reason why he's had to go through all that he's gone medically is because of throwing the curveball so frequently. So maybe whatever they say publicly, you know, you really can't believe anyway. But regardless of what's said publicly, maybe some of the thought behind it was, you did the majority of the damage because you threw the curveball way too much, and now you're not throwing it hardly at all.
That's a hypothesis.
I'm not saying I know anything. I'm just saying, as we look at this, and I'm going, maybe he doesn't want to or feels like he can't throw the curveball any more than he's throwing it.
I rather him risk his elbow chasing efficiency than protect himself and be a jabroni.
I know you would, but how?
Who wouldn't?
Lance.
Well, I know, but I don't, like, if Lance wants to do that, he can't be on my team, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but they're not going to, you can't force him to do what he doesn't want to do. So maybe the team comes and says,
I can DFA him.
Yeah. You still got to pay him. And then he's like, hey, cool, I get paid and I get a chance to pitch my way somewhere else.
Good luck with
you
that.
You can still bury me in the H, but I can play somewhere else.
I mean, no, I don't think he's on another major league roster.
I think someone would pick him up cheap and just keep working with him. Yeah.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Todd Callis, voice of the Astros. He had a day off yesterday, and he's still working with us. It's my kind of guy. We'll talk to the voice of the Astros, Todd Callis, when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. TK strikes me as somebody who would love to visit Two Creeks Crossing Resort, too. How do I know that? Because he's my kind of guy. I think we're cut from the same cloth. I'm going out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort here in a couple of weeks. Really looking forward to it. It's going to be fantastic. I'm not sure what I'm going to do first. Maybe hike on their 92-acre property. Then after that, cool down in the pool with a nice drink. Might do some kayaking, school some folks on the pickleball court. Been known to do that a time or two. Or I might just go chill out by a nice majestic tree and drop the line in the water up there on their two creeks. I'm looking forward to it, though. Escape the rat race. Escape the hustle and bustle of all the stress and anxiety in my life. And you need to go out there, too. If you have any hustle and bustle, if you have any stress and anxiety, go enjoy the great outdoors at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Escape the city, enjoy those great outdoors, and book your stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. From the open green spaces to the wildlife to those mature trees I was just telling you about, and some of the best fishing in Texas, if that's your thing, too, you can't beat it. It's also just 90 minutes from Houston. So I'm going to get off work, be up there at 7:30 on a whatever night, probably Friday night, but just 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far. Don't have to waste a day off on a Friday, for instance. You don't have to pack the kids in the car and travel for 6 hours. You don't have to worry about airports and all of the nonsense that goes with that. You're up there in 90 minutes. That's nothing. Hour and a half, and you're already out there. Glamping, cabins, tree houses, pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for anyone. You can also save 20% right now on your next two-night stay, Sunday through Thursday, on rentals for RV sites, yurts, cabins, and tents. Minimum of two nights, max of five. Book your stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.